Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
14th or 15th playoff game coming up. You know, how do you, like, get the strike a balance between, you know, you got to kick it up a notch in the playoffs, but you don't want to put more pressure on yourself?
Hey, 14 playoff games. You know more than me. For me, I kind of find relief in the playoffs. For one of them, I've had 14 games, you know, to play in these playoff games. And, you know, I've been on teams that we weren't supposed to win. I've been on teams where we're supposed to win and we lose. So I just know how important it is, not necessarily the actual game. It's the small moments that lead up into the game. You know, the anxiety is already going to be what it is. The nervousness is going to be whatever it is. And for me, I'm able to just break it down to, like, truly one day at a time. And not even one day at a time, but one moment at a time. So we just had practice, you know, win practice. And we got meetings, do my best in meetings. And that leads up to the game. For me, it kind of increases the confidence and kind of drives down the anxiety. So I'm able to whatever plays that I'm in there, is give the most and play how I play. And a little bit of favor, a little bit of favor and a little bit of luck from God. And, you know, there you go, Super Bowl MVP.
What are your emotions going into facing the Broncos in the playoffs?
You know, I had 2 days to really think about it, and it's all love. I can't even start to play that delusion of it's hatred or I can't even start to play that game. That I will put myself so far in a place that's not even close to being reality. That would be. It would be hurtful to the way I want to play. I love those guys. I love everything about the Denver Broncos. I pay close attention to the Denver Broncos. You know, I haven't even talked to Bo Nix or follow him on Instagram or nothing like that, and I feel like I know Bo Nix just by staying in touch with Broncos country and staying in touch with the Broncos. I know they're building a new facility. They got new jerseys. You know, all the new players from Mims and, you know, all the guys. Never met these guys, but I feel like I've met them because I pay so close attention to the Denver Broncos. Still close with Patrick Surtain, Cortland Sutton, Gary Bowles. We probably talk once or twice every single month. Last month, we never even had the idea that we would be in a playoff game playing into each other, like playing against each other. But me and Gary Bowles, we talk like it's when I'm on the phone with Gary Bowles, it doesn't feel like he's on Denver Broncos. I'm on the Buffalo Bills. It just feels like we're in a locker room on whatever team it is, and we just, you know, catching up with each other. It's all love and respect. And when I watch those Broncos games, yeah, some players that I don't know, but the infrastructure of the team and the people, like from Patrick Smythe and, you know, Flip and all the guys that have been there, that's still the same. It still looks so familiar when I watch these games. So can't even start to play that it's the Denver Broncos, I want to win. It's none but love. But those small 3 to 4 second bursts when I'm playing in the game, that 60 minutes when I'm out there, I want to win. I want to win the game. I want to beat the Denver Broncos. It's all love at the end of the day, but those small 3 to 4 second bursts, I got to go through these guys to get where I want to go. And it's kind of weird, but that's just how crazy the NFL is and the universe is. So instead of trying to fight it, I just embrace it. It's a cool event, you know, to be able to play against this new and improved, you know, Denver Broncos. The last time that they made the playoffs was, you know, last time we won a Super Bowl. So it's a full circle moment, and it's nothing but love and respect for the Denver Broncos and Broncos country for sure.
Bowles, you mentioned him. He's had a great year. What do you see from him now? You saw him when he was just a rookie in 2017.
Well, like I said, I'm biased. And whenever you ask me about one of my guys, I'm going to say the same thing. I feel like he's one of the best left tackles in the league. You know, I've seen him grow. From when he came in to the guy that he is now, he's the longest tenure Denver Bronco on the team. And it's crazy because when he came, it was probably year seven for me when I was there. And now he's the longest tenure Denver Bronco there. So It's an incredible moment. Like, Garrett Bowles is one of the best tackles in the league. He's playing really, really good. He's going to play really good on Sunday. We just got to find a way to be able to make plays. You know, he's played against some of the top pass rushers in the league, from Khalil Mack and all the other pass rushers that he goes against, and he does an excellent job. So we just got to find our small windows to go in there and make plays. And not only the offense, I pay attention to the defense, too, with the Denver Broncos, from, you know, Jonathan Cooper to Nick Benito and Zach Allen. Like, those guys are rushing up. I think they just broke the Broncos' sack, most sacks in a season by the Denver. I'm telling you, like, I pay close attention to the Denver Broncos. I love the Denver Broncos. It's just those small 3 to 4 second bursts. When I'm in the game, I have a job to do and I want to win.
For you and just all the playoff success you've had and experience, like, how do you share that message with some of the younger guys on this team
going to go? First and foremost, I have to understand that it's year 14 for me, but it's year 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 for those guys playing in the playoffs. So I got to meet them where they're at. And I got to, whatever portion that they're willing to take, I got to give it to them. I can't force too much information. I can't force my mindset. And I think as I get older and I mature, I get better at that. You know, it's not about, you know, my experiences with the Denver Broncos or the LA Rams. I can use that and reference that, but this is a totally different team with totally different players. It's not a cookie cutter where this is how we did it in 2015, this is how we did it in 2021, and this is how we're going to, I can't have that approach. It's a different team with different vibes and different players. So I always lean on my experience and all the things that I've done to be able to meet them where they at and give them the information, whatever they can accept. So as a leader, I've gotten better at that. And whether it's G, I'm not going to talk to G about, you know, coming in, you got to do this. I'm going to talk to G, and if he asks me something about the game, I'm going to give him my point of view. I'm going to give him what helps me and leave it at that. I'm not going to overfeed any of these guys when it comes to information.
What's convinced you, or what in your mind makes you believe that this is the year for the Buffalo Bills?
I mean, you asking me.
I know you're always optimistic.
You're asking me. We're here, and now we're playing the Denver Broncos. Those 6 years that we didn't make the playoffs, I truly felt, whether it was Case Keenum, Trevor Siemian, whether it was Paxton Lynch, whether it was Brandon Allen, it didn't matter what quarterback. I felt like we had a chance to go to the Super Bowl. So I'm not the, you know, the best to ask, because I'm just so optimistic with the guys that I'm with in the game. In the game that I play. But reality is, you know, we have a pretty good team, and I don't have to use my optimistic brain to force that. We have a really good team. We have a really good coaching staff. We have a really good quarterback. We play really good defense. Now we're in the postseason. You got to take it one day at a time, as I said before. The game, in my opinion, isn't won on Sundays or Saturdays. It's won today. It's those moments that we're in right now that builds up the confidence. So whenever you play in a game and you hit with high pressure situations, you're in a comfortable mind state to be able to have a half second decision faster than the other guy, or to jump on the ball, or not be nervous, or to jump the snap count, or not jump the snap count, or be strong in a run. You're able to think clearly because you've played the game 40, 50, maybe 60 times leading up into the actual game. And it's easier for me to do that in the postseason compared to the regular season, because you have 18 weeks of different variables. Now it's just 1 week, and like I said before, you break it down to one day and just small moments within that day.
Take the Bills. You've played 7 blowout games where, like, some of the starters haven't had to play a lot in the fourth quarter, and then you got the rest against New England. Just how do you feel? Week.
I'm rested.
19 of the season.
Me personally, I'm rested. And I played 3 snaps versus the New England Patriots, and the week before I played 14 snaps. And most of these snaps are pass rushing situations where it's me delivering, you know, the contact, not somebody else running against me or making tackles. You know, if I have 4 tackles in a game, it's probably 3 sacks and it's probably 3 sacks and 1 tackle for loss. So, you know, I'm not a whole lot of pressure on my body, and it's just a testament to the type of guys that we have here and the rotation that we have. And you know, I'm fresh and I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go out there and play as much as I need to play, or as little as I need to play, to get the win.
Whether it was after wins or losses during the regular season, where Sean and you guys in the locker room say it came down to the trenches, it came down to the front. How much of is it that simple in the playoffs that it just comes down to who wins up front?
Yeah, I'm not giving any. You know, betting advice, I'm not, especially not talking about this game, but just football in general. Like, a clear indicator, a really good indicator of who's going to win the game is the offensive line, defensive line combination. Like, especially when you start the game, because some offensive lines or some defensive lines are expected to win those matchups, and then you watch the game and it's a little soft here and it's a little soft there, it's a little firm here, it's a little firm there. But the clear indicator of who's going to win the game is the offensive line, defensive line combination. And we have one of the best offensive lines here in this league. It's a little tougher to decide this week versus the Denver Broncos because they have a really good offensive line and a really good defensive line as well. But we have a really good offensive line and a very good defensive line as well. And, you know, that's a clear indicator of who's going to win the game, especially at the start of the game. Is it soft? Are these runs just 2 yards? Or are they making contact at 2 yards and it's falling for 7 yards? You know, that's the offensive line being nasty and creating those extra yards. So really don't know what's going to happen now, but a clear indicator of who's going to win is that offensive line, defensive line combination. I like that. I like the pressure being on us. I can control that. You know, I would want it to be a variable where I can control. Like, if it was wide receiver, cornerback play, then it's feel like, okay, I can only do so much. You know, but if it's all on me and my guys, then we control the game, and I feel peace with that, knowing that all I had to do was do my job and we'd be all right.
You know John Elway is good as anybody. He admitted regretting passing on Josh back in 2018 this summer. And what do you make of that and how Josh has welcomed people who doubted him and showed them wrong?
It's crazy that John Elway just not realizing that in 2025. I knew that in 2019. No, but we made a great pick with Bradley Chubb. But obviously hindsight is 20/20. I'm sure if you know, Elway had that back, we had a chance to get Kyle Shanahan as well, and it was just too perfect. You know, Daddy Shanahan was there, won 2 Super Bowls, and Kyle Shanahan, and now we get Kyle Shanahan and Josh too. It might have just been too perfect for him to make that decision. Sometimes the easiest decisions are the hardest ones to make. But I don't think he made a bad decision with Bradley Chubb. Bradley Chubb was a great player, and Case Keenum was our quarterback. He just came off of the Minnesota Miracle as well. So I don't think that was a mistake, but obviously we had a chance to get Josh Allen and, you know, had Kyle Shanahan. And we went with Coach Vance Joseph too. Coach Vance Joseph is one of my favorite coaches ever, hands down. So definitely not any mistakes, but hindsight is always 20/20, and regret will eat you up to you old in age. And I don't think he really regrets it because, like I said, Bradley Chubb was a great pick, but seeing what Josh Allen is and what he panned out to be and what he still can be, you know, I think any GM that passed him up in that draft was like, man, we could have got him.
Vaughn, why is Greg ready to be a difference maker in the playoffs this year?
I think he's shown it. He's shown it before. He's at 18 weeks to really build up that confidence. It's not like he's been a mediocre player. Now it's the playoffs, and now he's going to turn it up. He's been our best player on defense this whole entire season. And I think that confidence is it'll wrap around his morale and his self-esteem, and he'll be able to go out there and be a player that we all know he can be. He's been super close on a lot of making a lot of big plays, and he's been there on a lot of big plays. And, you know, just for some odd reason in the playoffs, especially in the NFL, those one-game seasons, it just brings out the most in players, and I'm anxious and excited to see that next step that Greg takes naturally.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.